Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome back. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic, here on the Strategic Hot Box. Thank you for being here with me today. It's going to be a great topic. We're going to talk about leadership, of course. And the title of today's episode is Another Leadership Class? Why would we be doing more leadership? And just getting into why we continue to push and top and study and decide that leadership is so important. And we have a very, very special guest with us today, Miss Lisa Roundtree, who has played a very important role in my life as a mentor, as a friend, as somebody I've looked up to, and really was there by my side in one of the biggest presentations I've ever given in my life. And so we'll have her as a subject matter expert here very soon. Let's get started. Leadership in general is a very big, elusive topic. We've talked about it many times. We've talked about it every time here on the Strategic Hot Box and how all of our topics then build and dig into leadership. And leadership and learning really comes down to discipline. And when I think about stepping up and I think about becoming the best leader that I can be and how I'm going to lead my team into the future, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to think about that. And I can't necessarily choose to be a leader only when I want to, or only when it's convenient, or only when I'm just feeling up for it. Because leadership is about making it happen and about being there when it's not fun and being there when it's not popular and being the one in the forefront. It's about doing things that need to get done and having the discipline to do so. And I really feel like that's what the Hot Box is about as well. You're an adult. And it's, you know, it's the middle of the day or it's at night and you're an adult and you're making this choice to live this life. So it's up to you to make things happen. And when it comes to leadership, it's up to you if you want to choose to continue to grow in leadership into the future. So when it comes to your own personal growth and learning, if you want more, get more. And I think that leadership in general is so essential, and organizations are beginning to start recognizing that and understand that talent development is and a strategic initiative and should be aligned with our strategic goals. In fact, 83% of organizations say that it's important to develop leaders at all levels, and 89% of executives believe strengthening the organizational leadership is a top priority. And that was a survey done by Inspire Software. And they also have done, kind of looking at their platform, the people that they're serving, that $160 billion was spent on employee training and education in the United States alone. So a lot of dollars, a lot of time, and all organizations are really looking at this as being a strategic top of mind priority. And leadership development programs are happening, but not always equating into developing and creating leaders. And so we found in some of the preparation for this, a Harvard Business Review article that says sometimes the mismatch that's happening between leadership development and the leaders that are actually out in the field is the execution. That really a lot of leadership development programs are theory based and take place outside of the office, outside of the regular workday, and it's the latest trends and everything that's happening. And that's always really great and interesting and aha and makes you tingle when you're in the classroom. And then you get back into the office and what do you do about it? And sometimes the most powerful things that we can do are intuitive and dynamic and grounded in the operational day-to-day, the emotional intelligence it takes to get the job done every single day. So as a leader, what do we have to do to make sure that the programs that we have our staff going through and the programs that we do to develop people as leaders are actually being executed when they're on the job? I think one of the pieces is not forgetting to look out for people's potential. I think in the world that we are today, we've kind of created these unrealistic expectations for this emerging group. And they might be young, or they might just be people that are have energy to want to become the next level. And we don't necessarily look at their potential. We look at their what can they accomplish right now? And we should be looking at potential all the time. So look beyond the behaviors and abilities that they have now into the skills that they could progress into, knowing that they might have the capacity to be able to create that into the future. The second is being inclusive with opportunity, is giving people the chance, if they want to step up, to be able to do so. And the final thought I have on this is to not forget your weakest link, because, I mean, we've heard the cliche before that our team is only as strong as that weakest link. And so don't forget to give opportunity to the weakest link as well, while not overshadowing the people that are out there being the strongest. And so I think that this is true. I see it with my kids, that sometimes I will spend so much time with the problem child that the good child ends up becoming a problem. And I think that's true in the leadership capacity as well, is that sometimes you spend so much time having to coach or mentor the bad child that you don't spend time with the high performers, or you immediately have a high performer as a go-to and you don't even spend time with the people that really deserve the coaching. So having that equal opportunity for development, for leadership growth is important. But let's bring Lisa in. And Lisa Roundtree is a VP of HR and Staff Development at Premier One Credit Union. She has worked in several industries in HR, in leadership. She's a Franklin Covey trainer. She's a board member at Las Positas College Foundation. She also has her bachelor's in marketing from UNLV. Rebels, our rival here of the Nevada Wolfpack. And she's got her master's in HR management from Golden Gate University. She also happened to be by my side, as I mentioned at the top, at the biggest presentation I've ever given. And that was in 2003. I was a baby, baby, baby. And we were in Australia in Sydney. And it was my first ever presentation that I had memorized word for word. We were side by side talking about this brand new thing called the internet. Help me welcome Lisa Roundtree. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Do you remember our Australian presentation?
How could I forget? It was great to be in Australia, and it was fun to talk about the topic. And it was a great it was a great partnership, you and me.
Yes, and here we are. However many years, 15 years later, and and still side by side. I love it. So thank you for being here. So tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, you know, well, I'd have to say that it's not the typical journey. I think a lot of times when people think about leadership, they think about, okay, I'm going to get into an organization, I'm going to become an assistant, and then I'm going to, you know, kind of like move up and manager, and then pop one day, I become this really great leader. And that didn't happen for me, and I certainly don't believe it happens for most people. I was a project leader, and through some of the activities that I had completed, and some of them getting them wrong, but how I recovered from them, I think that my boss at the time saw potential in me and gave me additional opportunities. And from those opportunities, I learned and I grew, and I was able to take on more responsibilities. Then, when the opportunity came along in order for me to be able to take on a leadership position, I feel that I was more prepared for that.
And do you think that people are promoted in organizations before they're ready?
I think that people are promoted in organizations. A lot of times it's because of the tactical duties that they do well, which may not necessarily mean that they are going to be the best manager or the best leader, but they're really good at doing that task. And I think that we owe it to ourselves to really look at the skills and the abilities that people have and their desires, and then decide what positions that they want to be in.
Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes when I'm working with different institutions and people will be a newly promoted manager, they'll want to say, well, I still want to pull my drawer. I still want to do these tasks. I still want to do all the operational things I was doing before. And you don't have to prove that you know how to do those jobs anymore to be great in this leadership role. Don't you agree? I mean, it's this idea that sometimes people feel over need to be operational.
I think that over operational, and you know what, as a default, I think that we want to be successful, right? Inherently, we want to be successful. So what we do is we go back to those things that we know we do well, and we feel successful when we are doing those things, when we can be the hero of something that we know, and we can be the champion of that. But I think real leadership really does, to your point, Brandy, it means stepping away from those things that maybe we do well, allow other people to be that champion, allow other people to get those skills in place, and work from there. It's a growth for ourselves and for that other person that we're working with. And it takes a lot to be able to let go of those things that we know so well.
Absolutely. And the organization to be able to let you let go sometimes is part of it as well. And so the time old question of manager versus leader, are there some people that won't ever be able to be a leader?
You know, that's a difficult question. I look at it as if you were to consider an athlete, there are some athletes that have a natural ability and you kind of build on that natural ability. There are other people who have to work more at getting where they want to be. And I guess I look at leadership the same way. There are people who are natural leaders, absolutely and by far. There are other people who desire and willing to put in that work for it. So I think that it's open to anyone, but I do believe no matter who you are, you have to work for it. You have to work at it. And it is a journey. It's not a destination. It's not like, oh yeah, you know, I worked really well with my staff last year. I've got a new group of staff members. And so I can use that same information. Not necessarily. With every person that you're dealing with, your leadership strategy should be changing because it's about being effective.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And so what makes the component then of a leadership? If people are looking at building a leadership development program, and you've built several in the different organizations that you've been a part of, what components go into something that makes it more successful?
You know, there's so many, but I think that there are a few key ones that I think are very important. Number one, you need to have trust with your staff. You need to have transparency with them. If they feel like you are, taking on the credit, it is not going to build it's not going to build trust. If they think that, if they look and they see how you deal with other people, and they don't have either trust or they don't have respect for what you're doing, it's going to be hard to lead that group of people. I also think that another key component is having that level of emotional intelligence, like you talked about before, being able to know yourself, recognize what your own strengths and weaknesses are, as well as how are you interacting in a group? How are you getting people engaged in that group? Those are critical things. There's a lot of different things, but I believe that if I were to name the top three, it's certainly being aware of that emotional intelligence. It's definitely that trust and transparency. And I also think, greatness. It's about really looking at the person and trying to, get them to where they need to be. Mm-hmm. Marcus Buckingham talked about in one of his business books, he talked about not trying to put something into a person that's not there, but really kind of determining what's there and pulling out the greatness. It's really recognizing what that person does well.
I like that a lot. So hitting on the transparency really quick, I think I love to be open and authentic. It is part of who I am, and it really leads, I think, that having direct conversations with your team, being open with them, it cuts through the elephants in the room and the smashing the eggshells and all the cliches that get in our way in leadership, I feel like, and slow us down. And it doesn't happen often enough, you know, in organizations, and transparency is often overlooked.
Yeah, I think that you're right. And I think that there's a lot of reasons behind it. And unfortunately, I think we've all had our experience with good managers and with bad managers. And if we have this natural protective mode that we go into. And I think a lot of times when we're not being transparent is we don't want to be vulnerable and we are afraid to kind of like show the real person that we are. But we've got to manage that, right? We've got to be confident in what it is that we do well and be able to let the people that work with us know, hey, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but I'm here to work with you and I'm on that journey too, right? You're on that journey, I'm on that journey, and we're gonna figure this out together.
And sometimes we have to communicate things where you can't divulge all of the information. So their transparency has its limits too. I'm going to work with the team next week, and one of the questions that the team sent me in advance is, how do you deliver bad news to your team? And maybe you don't agree with the decision, and maybe you can't tell them all the details. But being as open as you can and saying, I can't deliver all the details because it's confidential board information. However, this is a decision we're going to support together as a team, is a legitimate way to communicate in being an open way, but also saying we need to celebrate this together.
Absolutely. We all have been in situations where we would probably have come up with a different decision if it were up to us. But once you've expressed what it is that you've said or what you believe with the powers that be, and a final decision is made, then as a leader, it is our responsibility to support that. And when we go back to our team, it is not, well, they made the decision and, you know, I'm here to deliver the news. Exactly as you said, it's we support this decision and you're expecting the same from your team members.
Absolutely. So then, can you share a success story about developing a leader and what went into that, or what the most important kind of technique was?
Well, you know, I can tell you, I do have a success story about developing a leader. I don't know if there was any overpowering thing, but the little things I think that made the situation successful is, first of all, that person had a desire to learn, to grow, and to do more. I like the idea of the fact that I could put aside, a lot of times people think of themselves and they said, okay, I've got to continue to grow in my position. But I think part of leadership is really putting your growth not on the back burner, but really kind of putting it to the side a little bit. Because part of leadership is growing the other person. So what is it that I can do to get them where I need them to be or where they want to be? And really giving them opportunities, having that faith and building that confidence in them that they can do this. I had I worked with a person who actually came from a very operational background. She was bright. She continues to be that type of person who can pick up on things quickly. And I knew at one point I was going to need a successor. And this person had all of the elements, a willingness to do anything that I needed her to do, did not come up with excuses, owned the situation, came to me with ideas, suggestions, advice. And it was really easy to be able to put her in those situations and ask that really important question, what would you do? Or what do you think should happen? And let's talk about that before you go out and you deliver that final decision, or you talk about that issue with the person. And after a couple of years of doing this, it was really easy to step back and just watch her grow. And I'm very proud of what she's become today.
So it sounds like in hindsight, open dialogue, asking a lot of questions, not being intimidated by the growth of the team from, like from your own personal intimidation of her growing, with you, and just allowing her to blossom was all part of that transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you bring up a really good point, Brandy. I think a lot of times people, they fear their position being replaced or them being replaced if somebody knows as much as they do. But I think that the real key is, how can we grow personally if there's no one to do what it is that we're doing? Are we just going to take on the work of what we do plus the work of what we would like to do? So this is a real opportunity for us to let that other person shine. And what I really kind of love about it is the fact that you have an opportunity to give credit to the other person, which builds confidence, mm-hmm. which in turn allows them to be able to take on just a little bit more than maybe they thought that they could. They feel good about it. And in a world today where turnover is, very high. I can remember when I started my career and, you know, long-term employment, somebody was with you for about 10 years. Now, if you can find somebody to stay with you for about three, you're lucky. So, but I think that you want to hang around those people that make you feel good, you know that you're going to grow with, and you know that they believe in you mm-hmm. and they're going to be looking out for you. So I think that that's also a way of hanging on to your best people just a little bit longer if you can.
It's funny that you say that about people's longevity. I'm pretty sure I threatened one of my employees the other day. I was like, if you leave me, I may call your wife. I'm just saying, because I'm going to need you in it for the long haul. So what's a miss? What is something that has happened or that you've seen happen in developing leaders, like a red flag when you, it's just a no-no that just doesn't work, that kind of impedes progress?
I think the one that comes to mind is, if you're good at the tactical thing that you do, that you're going to be great at leadership. And so therefore, I don't need to develop you. I'm going to promote you and you're good. And I just think that nothing could be further from the truth. The background, it's almost like a foundation. You promote people because they have the right foundation, which is probably that technical knowledge. Mm-hmm. But now you're building in a completely new set of behaviors and skills that you really want to make sure that they're leading in a way that is consistent with your organization's expectations. And they need hands-on attention. And I see too often where we promote people and then we just leave them alone mm-hmm. and we don't give them any more support. And unfortunately, failure can happen in those situations. And then that's bad because you've moved them away from something that they were really great at. You've put them in a new environment and sometimes they can't go back.
Absolutely. And the further out that people get, I was talking to somebody in an executive coaching capacity in the last week and saying the further up you get on the hierarchy and the further bigger the organization, the more lonely it is. There is that term of lonely at the top because of the fact that you just have less mentors, less bosses, less people telling you what to do. And so that's good in some ways, but it's also bad because you have less people kind of coaching, leading, guiding resources in that way. And so it also is in the business environment. The CFO position, I find, is one that's constantly, or accounting controller, CFO, that level position is one that's left alone because it's such a tactically important position. And then when they get to CEO, have not been exposed to the leadership softer skills at all. And that can be really difficult or a shock for some individuals.
It can. And I think it goes back to that emotional intelligence, right? Mm-hmm. It's about knowing that these are your shortcomings and surrounding yourself with people that can either compensate for that or else building those skills yourself. But something has to give mm-hmm. because ultimately, as we know, when people do decide to leave, people do not leave their companies. They leave their managers. They leave their bosses.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. So can you share a funny story? It better not involve me.
I can tell you a funny story. I can remember early on in my career, I had an opportunity to go across country, and it was going to be the first time I'd ever gone to these different states, and I was going with a friend, and my boss at the time said, "Hey, so you're taking this time and you're going to go across country. Tell you what, we've got a couple of clients you could visit, and I'll pay your way there." And it's like, okay, this is great. So we built this trip around going to see clients and a number of things. And right before I was supposed to leave on my trip. My friend bailed on me.
Oh no!
And I had to make the decision: do I not go?
Right.
Or do I go?
And then do these clients
now, and go, go and see those clients, but go by myself.
This
was, you know, early. It was
right,
early.
Yeah.
And it's like I never traveled so far by myself. So I ended up going and had one of the best times ever. I did everything that I wanted to do. Okay. And this is the funny part. I was still a little bit afraid. And so I made sure that I was back in my hotel room by dusk every night. Right. But it was a great growing experience for me. And the lesson I have learned from this is be very careful who you choose to take on trips with you.
Mixing business and pleasure. And when the streetlights come on, it's time to go inside, right? That's just a good lesson.
Back to the hotel room.
Can you share a bold action item or takeaway for the group? People listening and watching.
Absolutely. I think that the biggest, boldest action item is be the type of leader that you want to work for. We have all worked for people that we thought were good leaders, and even those that we didn't think were so good. So we take the good, we take those things that we don't want to do, and we be that kind of leader. And we think about that as we take on these positions, and we make sure that we keep our ego on the back burner and think about the other person.
I love that. That's perfect. How can people get a hold of you if they'd like to?
Well, you can get a hold of me at by email. My email address is lroundtree@premierone.org. That's onecu.org.
Awesome.
From you.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for being a part of the Hot Box today. It was great to see you, and I hope to see you again really soon.
Thanks. I'm so glad to be a part, and great to see you as well. Have a great day.
Bye. Let's head out to the shout out.
Brandy, I'm Robert from Caracas, Venezuela. I'm living here in Argentina. I send you the best of luck with your program in Strategic Hot Box. My regards.
Thank you from Venezuela. I love getting these shout outs from all over the world. It is so very cool. Thank you to all of our friends from the global friends. And thank you again to Lisa for being part of the show. It was so fun. My cheeks are kind of hurting from smiling from this episode. Let's get into our top five kick-ass. Number one is to recognize potential. Talking about making sure that we're seeing the future in people, seeing beyond what it is that they do from day to day. Sometimes when individuals get into a position, they let go of some of the other skills that they may have in their toolbox to focus on a particular genre that they're in as an organization. And so those other skills aren't being utilized, but they still may have them and they may be very valuable to the organization. So let's recognize the full potential that they have. Also, there are a lot of individuals that learn quickly. So don't pigeonhole people. Recognize their potential. Number two is align organizational values. I think so often we want to be transparent. We want to focus. We want to make sure that whatever it is that we're pushing people for from a leadership standpoint is aligned, that they can see what the future is, vision of the organization as a greater, as the whole, the strategic view. Number three is make it experiential. So get down in the dirt, like roll your sleeves up. When I went through the doctoral process, I had the option of going through a PhD or an EDD, and I chose to go through an EDD process instead because my understanding of it was a PhD process is more theoretical and the EDD process is more experiential. And so I chose that because that made more sense for me and where I was in my business life, where I was with my application process. And so everything that we do in life should be, you know, based on where you are, where you want to be in your application of leadership and growth. And so when it comes to programs in your organization, programs and how you're going to apply it, make sure it includes that experiential piece, because theory is great outside, but we need to make sure how it applies once you get back to work. Number four is to be inclusive. This includes diversity, inclusive of humans, inclusive of the weakest link, the strongest link, inclusive of gender, inclusive of everything that is important, because the more inclusive the language is and more inclusive the programs are, the more that we can grow synergistically as a team. And number five, if you need more, get more. It's up to you. That's your top five. Kick ass. Thank you again to Lisa for joining us, and thank you for all of those that have submitted shout-outs. If you want to send us a shout-out, please do. You can email us at podcast@strategichotbox.com or head out to our website, strategichotbox.com, or you can hit us up on any social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Insta, we're on Twitter. So Facebook, it's at, you know, Strategic Hot Box, and then Instagram, we're at Strategic Hot Box. I mean, there's a theme here, right? And Twitter, we're at Brandy Love, BrandiLuv. And just anywhere you want to go. I mean, we're there. We're ready for you. Send us some info. We'd love to either have you on the show, send us a shout out, whatever. Send us some topics you want us to cover. We got you. Until I see you again, get out there and kick some ass.